Let us turn again to the passage of God's word, which we read together in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 56. And let us read again verse 12. Isaiah 56 at verse 12. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. That, of course, is an ungodly statement. It's a presumptuous statement. What are we to say? Well, as I hope to notice, then the Apostle James writes in these terms, if the Lord will, we shall do this and that, or that. Whatever it might be that we have in mind, what we want to do, what we plan to do, but then there's a note of caution. If it's according to God's will, God willing, we might say. But you see, this is the optimistic attitude that so many today have. When things are going well with them, as they might measure them, when they have plenty, whether they will acknowledge that or not, and whether they are thankful to God for what they have or not. And there's an unthankfulness about people today, generally. They want more and more. And so many do not think that they have enough. They do not acknowledge the giver. God is the giver. Go and tell that to anybody in the street. They don't want to hear that sort of thing. And if they do, if they're willing to listen, it's likely to be something very superficial, a very superficial attitude. Everything's going to go on indefinitely, as they are. Life is going to go on. Yes, obviously, people have to accept that everybody will die and that they will die sometime. But it's away in the distant future. It's not something that has to occupy their minds just now. Tomorrow shall be as today and even more abundant. Well, I don't want to get into politics, but some of these thoughts are arise from the reaction to the various elections that took place on Thursday. And you see, the government isn't giving them enough. The government isn't effective enough to raise the standard of living. And even if it did come up by a little, they wouldn't notice. They want a lot more. But you see, we can go back to the Bible. And if we were reading the Bible carefully and prayerfully, then we would be a lot more content. And if people were influenced by the Bible, people generally, if they were influenced by the Bible, there would be a lot more content with the things that they have. You see, very largely, this is a godless generation. They don't think about the goodness of God. And you don't have to go back all that far in history when so many people were living in what might be described as abject poverty. Real poverty. Hardly having enough to get themselves a decent meal. Well, that's something by way of background anyway. But this is the attitude. Tomorrow shall be as this day and more abundant. That's a particular aspect of it. I've ranged somewhat more widely in my remarks thus far. But let us ask two questions. First, is tomorrow secure? People say, tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. They mightn't quite put it like that, but that's the sum and substance of it. And the second question is, how should we then live? If we take seriously what is said here, and said in a particular context, a context of rejection of God. That's what it was, the background. In Isaiah's time, it was godlessness. Godlessness. Following of false gods. Well, there's plenty of false gods today. Prosperity, that's one of them. And a prosperity that hasn't arrived to the extent that people would wish it to. But you see, we can leave it at that. Referring to false gods, of course, there's a false god of entertainment and so on. But these two questions then, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Is tomorrow secured? Like it's imagined to be in the statement which was representative of the attitudes in Israel in Isaiah's time. And is representative of attitudes today very much. There's people who do live in poverty, but their hope is for exactly the same thing as better off people are already experiencing. It's all centered on the things of this world. Well, is tomorrow secure? And secondly, how should we live? And you see, what has been prominent in the verses we have sung from Psalm 90, it's that tomorrow is not secure. We cannot promise ourselves tomorrow. We might be dead before tomorrow. Or supposing we are relatively well off, things might be very different even tomorrow. And to anticipate what might be said under the second, in trying to answer the second question. We ought to be very dependent on God Himself. Whatever we do, whatever we expect to do tomorrow, God willing, you see, we need to be dependent on Him for blessings. And supposing things do not turn out as we would wish them to, let us turn to the Lord. Let us ask Him for His blessing. Let us confess that we have not been as dependent on Him as we should have been. You see, it would be good for people generally, and for ourselves in particular, to learn that we are altogether dependent upon God for everything, for our food, to have warm homes, to have clothing. You see, these blessings, they are blessings. They are good things. Oh, we might want far more than we have. But you see, if we have enough, whatever enough might be, if we measure it, but if we have enough, then that's a great matter for thankfulness. Especially when we think of people who do not have the blessings that we have. Even temporal blessings, far less the spiritual blessings that we have. And I'm thinking just now in terms of having the Bible, having the preaching of the word, being prayed for, things like that. These are great blessings, though how much we need to ask the Lord that He would bless them to us so that we would make good use of these blessings. But just now, to look more specifically at this matter about tomorrow. Is it secure? You see, we are to live in the face of these words that God spoke to Adam after he fell. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. God made Adam from the dust of the ground. God obviously took some of these, of the earth, and made a body for Adam. The chemistry of that work I couldn't begin to describe. Others might know more about the constitution of the human body, but that's not the point just now. The point just now is that we will return to the dust when people are buried. There's a process of decay. But just now, more importantly, the separation that there is to be between the soul and the body. There should be a separation, and we call that death. There's no life left in the body. The soul passes into eternity. But the thing is, are we prepared for death? There'll be a tomorrow. And we shouldn't put it far away from us. There'll be a tomorrow when we die. When we cannot carry out our plans for that tomorrow. And without too much anticipating our second point, does that not suggest strongly how much we need to be prepared today? Death could come today. Are we prepared for it? Are we crying out in our souls to the great God of eternity, who has made a provision for dying sinners? Sinners, you shall die, certainly, when we do not know. And we would do well to, so to speak, anticipate death. That we should have it as one of the basic facts of our life. Life is going to end, and we need to be prepared for it. Life is going to end. Death is going to come, and we need to be prepared. We're sinners, you see. How can sinners dare go into eternity without being prepared? How dare sinners take one other step through life without earnestly seeking a preparation? Yes. And when people put that off, then this is the danger, that their tomorrow, the tomorrow of death, when it comes, will bring a voice like the successful farmer, the rich fool, in other words, like he heard, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." The separation that death involves is not just on its way. It's almost here. Yes. Is tomorrow secure? Absolutely not. And therefore, you see, to quote from the beginning of Proverbs 27, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Do not be too confident about tomorrow, that we will see it, and that all will be well, that we can expect to enjoy ourselves tomorrow, that we can expect to be successful tomorrow. Yes. Do not boast of it. What's going to happen tomorrow? Some of you, for instance, may have an important exam tomorrow. Do not boast of your success. But go to the Lord with it, and whatever it is that you hope will be in your tomorrow, perhaps even certain of being in your tomorrow, commit it to the Lord. And that's what we should be doing every day. Even if nothing of consequence is on your is in your diary for tomorrow, to put it that way. Ask God's blessing on your tomorrow, every tomorrow. And every day you wake up, you're to pray that the Lord will be with you, whatever you're to be engaged in. Ask the Lord for his blessing. Yes. And to think of that, not verse, but verses in James that I referred to earlier. James chapter 4 and at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's the plan. Speaking of a merchant, he'll go on a journey, he'll reach a city and he'll trade there for a year. He's far too definite. He's boasting of tomorrow. His transactions may turn out not to be profitable. He may never reach the city. He may never live another day. Whereas, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. A reference to the mist. The mist, perhaps particularly at this time of year or later on, and there's some mist in the hills in the morning, comes lower down, but look and again a few hours later and it's all gone. That's the pattern for our lives. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. What should we say? Well, we're told, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If it's God's will, God's got a control of the whole of our providence. He knows what's going to happen. He can bless us. But let us bear this in mind. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God's will, that's what we've got to bear in mind. That's what we've got to think about. That's a good way to live. You see, and again it's in Isaiah chapter 22 this time, a thought coming from the same direction as our text. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. It's somewhere in the future. It might even be as close as tomorrow. But it's not just now. It's not immediate. We can afford to put off our serious thinking for some time yet, for a little while at any rate. No. That's the testimony of the sorts of things we are thinking about on the basis of our text. And Second Corinthians 6:2 springs to mind. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're to seek salvation now, not away in the future, but now. Now is the time that is acceptable to God, and that's what matters. That's what matters. That I want to do such and such. I want to do this, I want to do that tomorrow. I want to do various things today. But have you sought salvation? That's the thing. That's what God is putting first. That's what the Bible is putting first. That's where we'll get good advice, perfect advice. And how foolish we are if we do not pay attention. If we do not seek the Lord now. Yes. Or take the Savior's counsel so very shortly before he went to die. He said, watch. Why? For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now we might interpret that particularly in terms of Christ coming at the end of the world. But what about Christ coming to separate between our souls and our body? We've got to be watchful. We've got to be preparing. One is wise to be watchful before we go to bed. What I'm thinking of is checking that the doors are locked. Checking that there's no ground floor window half open. We've got to be watchful about these things. Well, if that is so, how much more watchful should we be about death? We may feel perfectly well. That's something to be thankful for. But that doesn't mean to say but that within the next 24 hours, say, we might be in eternity. And again, the question arises, are we ready? Have we sought the Lord? Have we remembered our latter end? But again, let us not be among those who Amos warned, those that put away the evil day. Now that might be all sorts of things. But what I'm trying to emphasize just now is what many would regard as the evil day of death. You see, the Lord can so deal with his people that the day of their death is not to be looked on to as an evil day. A day that's going to explode all their hopes. They might be given the consciousness that they are going to die, and very shortly. They are ready for that tomorrow. And the sting has been taken out of death so that they can go on calmly. They don't need to panic. They have good reason to be confident. They have sought the Lord and they have found him. That's one thing. But you see, how unwelcome a day. It's the day of death. You might get people, and they don't want to speak about death. They don't want to speak about it. Put it away as far as they can possibly put it away. That's their attitude. Put it as far out of sight as possible. They don't want to hear about it. They must be afraid in one degree of another of what's round that corner. Yes. Oh, that people would take scriptural advice. Oh, that people would search the scriptures to find out what God has to say about death and how one can prepare for death. What is involved in committing one's soul to a faithful Creator? Yes. Watch therefore, the Savior says, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. Are we watch? Do we take a look ahead? Do we take a look into eternity? I sometimes think of the Reverend Alec Morrison. He must have been in a sermon saying we should be taking a look into eternity every day. Well, we should certainly be looking into eternity because we're going there. But are we going to heaven? Or are we going to hell? If you take a particular road out of Inverness, say you go south, well, you can assume that you're not expecting to make your way to Wick, say. And if you head north across the Keswick Bridge, you can be somebody seeing you can be pretty sure that you have no intention of travelling towards Edinburgh or Glasgow. You see, what way are we on? Spiritually speaking, are we on the broad way still that leads to eternal destruction? Or are we, by faith, gone into the not a way that leads to everlasting life? You see, we need to be careful. We need to be in earnest. We need to be urgent about the future, about seeking salvation, of being prepared. If you're going on any journey, you need some degree of preparation. If you're just going away for the night, you might say, I don't need to take much with me, but you need something. And it's not just for the night that we are going to take the great journey that brings us into eternity. What preparation is needed? Though in a sense the preparation has been made already by Christ. But we need to be sure of that salvation. That we have found Christ and salvation through Him. Yes. A preparation needs to be made for that great tomorrow, when death will come. Yes. See what the Savior said about Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. when Christ will come at the end. And bearing that in mind, the last day when Christ will come the second time, but particularly there's this matter of Christ coming through death to an individual. Yes, Christ coming in the way of death, bringing a sinner, separating in the very core of a person's being, between body and soul. Yes. What was it then? How was it in Noah's time? They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, they were focused completely on what shall we eat and what shall we drink and wherewithal shall we be clothed. They were saying, tomorrow shall be as today and much more abundant. Yes. That's the attitude of this generation. But is it our attitude? What shall we eat today? What shall we eat tomorrow? What shall we eat at any time? Or drink? Or what clothes will we get? How will we enjoy ourselves? Where will we go on holiday to? Yes, significant questions. They're not questions to be ignored. Some may be more optional than others. But there's the danger, the great danger of ignoring this question. Am I prepared for eternity? Am I prepared for eternity? Can I afford to be spending time on things that are not essential and neglecting my soul? When tomorrow is so uncertain, when the rest of today has an uncertainty about it. Yes. And let me remind you of this. It may not ever have particularly struck you, but it's worth paying attention to. It's a warning. A solemn warning in the first verse of Proverbs 29. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You're encouraged to seek the Lord today. But what if death lays its cold hand on you? After being often reproved, after being often warned, and just as often having hardened your heart, it's the moment of death when there is no remedy. Let me spend some time now, considering more particularly, though I've given indications along these lines already, how should we live? And first, just now, let us note that verse where we stopped singing, which in the prose version reads like this. It's a prayer. We could do with praying more. That's true for the Lord's people. But are you praying at all? I hope you go on your knees But are you really praying? There's a big question. Are you really praying? And here is a good prayer. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. How will we number our days? It's not that we can come to whatever figurative days we have passed in this world, some thousands of years, of days. The figure doesn't matter. This is what matters. Lord, make me apply my heart to wisdom. Lord, so come and work in my soul that I would think wisely about death, about eternity, about Christ, about salvation, and so on. That I would think wisely. What is it to think wisely? Well, in the things I've just mentioned, in relation to the things I've just mentioned, it's to think according to what has been revealed in the Bible. That's it. That's wisdom. To think according to what God has revealed. That's to think wisely. And I quoted the verse already, but at this stage, let me emphasize it again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, it's a matter of priorities. The Savior had just mentioned eating and drinking and being clothed. And if we don't pay any attention to these things, there's something wrong with us. And yet, you see, these are not the first things. These are not the most important things. These have their place, an important place in our lives. But what about eternity? What about being prepared for eternity? What about finding Christ and the righteousness that he has provided for sinners, which is what we are? Yes. Seek ye first. Somebody might be seeking a better job. Somebody might be seeking a more suitable house. Somebody might be seeking new friends. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what's more important, far more important than anything else. Yes. So, let us remember Noah again. And we read in Hebrews 11 about him and his faith, along with any number of others. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, his household. Everybody was to perish. Perhaps, no doubt, some would die during the 120 years before the flood would come. But, you see, what we have is this. God had given a warning to Noah. A flood is going to come. And it's going to destroy everyone. But I'm going to prepare an ark. You are to prepare an ark. And so on. But Noah had faith. Noah believed what God said. Noah acted in a believing way and got out tools, got wood prepared, set to put the ark together. Yes. She was going to keep him going for 120 years. And however much abuse he got, however much ridicule was poured on his head, he knew that God had spoken, and he went on, day by day, year by year. And he might look back after a year and how little I've got done. Anyway, he kept going. He was believing. And that's how it is. That's the kind of life we should live. We're not going to be commissioned to build an ark. But we are told to seek the Lord. We're told to prepare for eternity. We're told to apply our hearts unto wisdom. We're told to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we involved in that? Preparing for eternity. Making use of the means of grace so that we might find salvation. Or so that we might grow in grace. So that we might be more sure of being on the right road. The road that leads to everlasting life. There's important things in life. And there's vitally important things in life. I mentioned some of the important things. But I particularly mentioned the vitally important things. But have we paid attention? Are we seeking to cast ourselves? Are we going before God and asking, Lord, draw me by thy grace. Draw me by almighty power. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Pardon my sin. Give me a new heart. And so we can go on. We just say, however we describe it, whatever words of scripture we might use, however we might put it in our own words, the great thing is that we would begin to live to the glory of God. The great thing is that we would seek salvation. That we would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would turn from our own ways to serve the living God. Yes. There are important things in life. But there are vitally important things. All centered on this great matter. To be found in Christ. To be found united in Christ. United to Christ, to be found believing in Christ, not having our own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Yes, there are blessings to be found. In this sad, sinful world, there are blessings to be found in this world, which will lead us on to the perfect blessedness of heaven. If we find Christ, how great are the blessings that we will find in heaven. If we have not found Christ, how we should be seeking the Lord while he may be found. As I've already said, perhaps in other words, will not be able to find salvation always. There'll be a tomorrow that will be all too late. A tomorrow. Let us make use of today. This particular Sabbath, the 10th of May 2026, seek the Lord. Seek him now. Seek him before tomorrow comes. Seek him at this very moment. There will be a last day that we will be spared in this world. We're not to put off seeking salvation till the evening. Let us seek him now. Let us seek Christ now. That's the call of Scripture. That we would be influenced in this way. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Yes. Or let me quote this to you. Repent and turn yourselves from all your iniquities, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Iniquity shall not be your ruin. But if you go on without Christ, without repentance, without faith, if you go on in carelessness, iniquity will be your ruin. You will be brought down to a lost eternity. If you refuse and rebel, as I've just quoted. Yes, iniquity will be your ruin. Yes. See what Christ said. Many a blessed thing he said that is recorded in Scripture. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The earth goes on and on, but it will not go on forever. But the words of Christ will always be relevant. They will be eternally true, eternally reliable. Let us listen to them. I've quoted some of them already. But you see, there's this warning. Take heed. Lest your hearts be overcharged with drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. You see, the context is one of, or at least the first part of the verse, is a reference to people drinking too much, filling themselves with strong drink. Yes. How dangerous. How dangerous if death was to come unawares to someone who is under the influence. They can't meet death properly. They're not in a fit state to seek the Lord. But you see, what I want to leave with you is that expression. Lest that day come upon you unawares. Not knowing it, not realizing it, not expecting it. Where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us with this for one thing. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And it leaves us with this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May we be delivered from that thought. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. We have been about the solemn things of thy word. May they not leave us easily. May they take hold of our souls. May we be brought to seek thee. May we be brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when he is revealed to us. Oh, do not leave us to be careless about our souls and careless about our latter end. Meet with us. Do us good. Take us by the hand. May Christ come to us as the good shepherd to lead us away from the city of destruction, to lead us by the still waters, and to bring us at last into the place of eternal blessedness in heaven above. Pardon our sin. Keep us from evil. Deliver us from carelessness. Meet with us as individuals. Speak to our souls. Do us good. Wash away all our sin. Make us wise. And may many be turned to thyself. May the gospel go out everywhere. Be our God and guide forever, for Jesus' sake. Amen.